Welcome into the Houston Rocket Club's Insider Podcast, where we are celebrating our fourth year of broadcasting. We are the club that aspires to attract and retain exceptional membership and professional staff to provide its members the finest facilities, amenities, and personalized service. But before we begin, here's some food for thought.
Hello, my name is Dwight Edwards, and the title of today's message is The Classroom of Experience. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Experience, that most brutal of teachers. But you learn. My God, do you learn." So true, isn't it? Experience teaches like nothing else, especially the classroom of failure. If we take full advantage of it, that is. The renowned inventor Kettering made the insightful observation that we must learn to fail intelligently. He said, "Once you've failed, analyze the problem and find out why. Because each failure is one more step leading up to the cathedral of success." That is a great statement. Here are three suggestions someone has made for turning failure into success. Number one, honestly face defeat. Never fake success. Number two, exploit the failure. Don't waste it. Learn all you can from it. Every bitter experience can teach us something. And number three, never use failure as an excuse for not trying again. Elsewhere, Kettering wrote, "We need to teach the highly educated man that it is not a disgrace to fail, and that he must analyze every failure to find its cause. He must learn how to fail intelligently, for failing is one of the greatest arts in the world." Indeed, I believe is exactly right. Learning to fail well is truly one of the greatest achievements of one's person. Learning to fail well is truly one of the greatest achievements of any person's life. But C.S. Lewis is also right. It is the most brutal of teachers. Our flashpoint? Milk failure for all that it's worth.
Happy Friday, everyone. Podcast number 69, Thomas and
Cicely here.
Present with a special guest, of course. We'll get to her in just a second. Thank you for tuning in to the HRC Insider Podcast yet again. And as I mentioned, this is episode number 69. Unbelievable. Ever since March of 2019, we have done these podcasts. And you can go to the HRC app in the podcast library and look for past episodes. A quick club update for our members and staff. Our second month of the fiscal year was a very good month again, so we're out of the gates very strong with August. We continue wrapping up renovation projects. The pickleball courts are about to open for the tournament in Sicily. We'll talk about in a little bit. LED lights have been ordered. Bob's working on the clay courts, reconditioning, and so forth. And next, we are going to dedicate a full-size backboard next to court 34, and we will expand the pickleball court back there to full size as well, as I've previously shared. Blake is still waiting on his new sound system for the group exercise studios, which has been on order since July, but good old delays, as with so much, are affecting that. So thank you for your patience, especially our group exercise members who may be listening. I want to congratulate our new board officers. Our new president will be announced, of course, at the annual meeting officially, I will share that our new president is Brooks Despot, our new vice president is Trent Tillipson, and our new secretary is Yvonne Simpsons. Simpson. Congratulations to all three of you, and thank you to the current board and the incoming board members. The elections are now underway. Please, by all means, if you are a voting member, you have received a link from the club, and Christina is our special speaker here today, so I'm going to ask her real quick, and the email came from election coordinator?
HRC election coordinator, that's correct.
Thank you. HRC election coordinator, so please make sure to check your inbox, your chunk mail, just in case.
Mail.
I'd like to welcome our newest members to the club, featured in this episode of the latest edition of The Raconteur, Candy Daly and John Chapman, Jessica and Rob Chisholm, Daphne and Patrick Comerford, Sebastian Dominguez, Kristen and Clayton Eddy, Julia Singer and Adam Frankel, Rachel and Michael Fuquay, Christina, Michael Fuquay, Matt Fuquay.
Michael Fuquay is Matt Fuquay's twin brother.
They almost look the same. Look at this picture. Excellent. Welcome, of course. Katie and Johnny Gregg, Beth and Mark Kellner, Marnie and Tom Utchen, Trish and Tim Schneider, and Adriana and Lucas Spivey. Spivey, I'm not sure. I apologize if I mispronounced it. Probably Spivey. But welcome to the Houston Racquet Club. And as a reminder, we have a waitlist that is now getting close to 200, close to 100 plus, with a almost 2-year time frame to get in. So congratulations, as we have members resigning, which they are not a lot lately, which is a good thing.
Good thing.
But for those of you waiting to get in, of course, your patience is appreciated. So those members listening, tell your friends to hang on tight. As far as employees are concerned, I'd like to congratulate the following employees on their work anniversaries. 1 year is Roberto Gill. 3 years, Julio Lopez. 4 years, Kathy Capriel and David Perez. 6 years, our chef, Adam Heath. 7 years, Jairo Salgado, a.k.a. Jacob. And 14 years, Carlos Flores, who you will see his smiling face in the morning at the security booth. What do we have coming up, Cicely?
We have so much coming up. This Sunday is our red versus blue tournament that Alex spoke about on our last podcast. Make sure to sign up to participate or just come on out to watch the teams fight for the win. September 21st is the senior bus trip to Phoenix Knives. Wednesday, September 21st is men's poker night. Friday the 23rd is kids movie night featuring the Minions. Saturday, September 24th is a pickleball tournament hosted by the Men's Association. I know we're all looking forward to that one. Saturday, September 24th is kids jamboree night. This night will be packed full of obstacle courses, a bounce house, and arts and crafts. Kicking It at HRC starts the September 27th. This is a 9-week soccer session over in the youth area with two different age groups. Thursday, September 23rd. 9th is our Tap the Keg Oktoberfest. Last but not least, October 1st is our Disco Dubs event. Come and get your groove on with everyone out there and wear the best costume you have. Make sure to sign up for all of these events on the HRC app.
Thank you, Cicely.
You're welcome.
Now, we are, of course, again, challenging our staff to the quiz where we ask you to listen to this podcast and then do the trivia quiz. You will get the link in an email from Cicely.
Yes.
And I'm bragging because for the first time I did it last time. And what was my score?
I think you had 100%.
I have a home turf advantage, but we had a couple more who did 100%.
We did. So. I love the challenge, and we'll definitely do it again this time because it helped get the numbers up. And this quiz will be on this podcast, number 69, as well as about our featured rock star, Christina.
It was fun. And no,
fun.
No, I'm not included in the drawing, so nobody worry about that.
No, okay. He's not in there.
But we do have a bowl with quite a few names in there, so thank you for participating. And I'm going to ask Christina, our featured rock star today, to pull a name.
Wow, I can't read that. What does that say?
It's Suzanne.
Suzanne. Is she like the lucky streak winner
she
here?
She is,
like,
her and Karina. And I goodness. Swear there's tons more in there.
Okay. Wow.
Congrats. Good job. Thank Good you. Job, Suzanne.
Thank you. And thank you for the run, Christina.
Sure.
Now, over to Christina. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
And Cicely shares with me the first thing you said when she asked you to do the podcast is, what? Already? So soon?
Yes. Well, I just got back and I thought, okay, well, maybe I have a little time ahead of me, but that's all right.
Well, you just got back, but you were here for 12 years before you got back. And so I think it's only appropriate that we, as we wish Jean farewell, welcome you in and give all of our new members that you've missed coming in while you were out an opportunity to understand who you are. So Christina has been with the club for many years. You'll see Christina walk around the club smiling all the time, always has a positive attitude, which I so appreciate. We, of course, always reach out to somebody and ask them a little something about you. So Cicely reached out to Kathy in the membership office, and Kathy said the following about you. Christina loves the
all
club. Loves the club.
That's true.
And gives it her all. She is devoted to the members and always thinks and sees the best in people. She's encouraging and sincere. We tend to get tickled about things and cannot stop laughing.
That's true.
We've been through so much together, and I'm absolutely thrilled Christina is back in the saddle here at the club. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you.
Oh, she's got tears. Kind. She's got tears already.
It's a big heart.
That was really kind, Kathy. I appreciate that.
Tell us a few things about Christina, Cicely.
She's from Bolingbrook, Illinois, Midwest, just like me. Mm-hmm. She was a three-sport athlete. This is something I didn't know. Basketball, tennis, and track. She played singles in tennis, all about singles. She took up some folklore dancing. And a fun fact, she worked for the Texans and the Rockets.
I remember that. What were you doing for them?
I was a marketing associate and then a lead marketing associate and did also game operations on the floor towards the end of my career with them when I decided to fully kind of cut that cord and stay with HRC for the long haul. And with the Texans, I was a premium seating concierge with them for a couple seasons. Yeah,
because I remember when he first came on, we always, the Rockets at the schedule and back and forth, and I forgot all about it until I read it in the script. So born and raised in Bolingbrook, you went to high school there and played basketball, tennis, track, and marching band?
Yes, my mom got us into as many activities as she could. And
for real.
Music was important to her, and I'm so glad that she did that, because anytime, you know, I felt like taking a break from my homework or I was feeling stressed, I could just, you know, play some music and relax and then go back to the books.
What you play?
I play the flute.
The flute, okay.
Yes.
And of all the sports, what was your favorite?
Tennis by far. I love basketball. I despised running, but I did it because my mom made me do it. I was good at it, I guess. So she was like, no, better off here. Team sports, you know, you have to rely on other people. But I had fun on the team sports with basketball. But tennis was a passion for me, and I really enjoyed it. It was a family sport growing up, and that was part of the reason why, you know, I enjoyed working here, because I can see everyone getting joy from the game.
Yeah, right. What was your first job?
That's really hard to say. I mean, without applying, you know, going into a business and applying, I mean, I mowed lawns, I told Cicely. And so, you know, my dad, he's an entrepreneur, so he was always about get out there and talk to people. And of course, as a kid, I was really shy. I know you'd never believe that, but I was a shy kid. I didn't really kind of come out of my shell fully, I think, till I got into hospitality, because, I mean, you start to really, you know, you have to talk to people. And so, mowing lawns, I was a little embarrassed, you know, going to the neighbors and saying, okay, my dad asked me, do you need somebody to help you mow your lawns? And they were more than happy to have me, and it was good money.
What was the going rate at the time per lawn?
Well, my dad's good at negotiating, so $25.
Oh, and nice.
Back then, that's right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
I was making some good. Money.
That's very good. Yeah. Okay. You have one sister?
I do.
And where's she?
She loves Chicago. She stayed back home and ended up moving downtown, and she sold her car, and she just loves all the action. And I like it too, but I think I've come to really appreciate a little bit slightly slower pace in life. So,
right.
But visiting is always great. There's so much to do out there.
And I didn't mention her name, Selena.
That's right.
Okay. So your dad, you said, mentioned he had his own business?
Yes.
Okay, talk about a little bit.
Named after his two daughters. So it was CNC Wholesale Meats.
Nice.
And again, it was really interesting to see him develop that from, you know, an idea to in person. This is what it takes. I started, you know, handing flyers out for him. Again, very embarrassing as a child to be like, oh, I've got to go talk to somebody I don't know. But it helped me, you know, kind of get over that fear as, you know, an adult and know, okay, it's fine. It's just another person. And if they don't want, you know, so I saw him do that. It was tough in the beginning because, you know, you have to go out there and meet with a lot of people and sell your product. And, you know, my dad's a wonderful person. You know, he's also, you know, caring and sincere, and people, you know, really trusted him with their businesses, and he had a great clientele until he decided to sell the business. And that's what brought him to San Antonio. And I, of course, later followed to Texas. But he was very hardworking, and I saw him fulfill his dream. And it allowed him to retire early.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually led to, you know, where we are today.
I remember meeting your parents. So,
that's okay. I was just going to say, you learned a lot from your dad's business because he shared his business plan with you. Can you talk a little bit about?
He always did. It was really kind of, as a kid, you're like, okay. He just kind of, come over here. Let me show you what I'm doing. And he would talk through, like, this is, I make my list of, you know, the night before, what I'm going to do tomorrow, my goals. And he showed me how to, you know, balance the business checkbook and had me do the deposits. Yeah. And
is that why you write lists all the time?
I think so.
Because that's the number one thing I learned from you is write your list.
It helps.
She doesn't miss a beat.
And no.
I've made the mistake a couple of times to ask her, hey, did you do... Yeah, it's almost like borderline insulting because she's like all over it.
Right,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's great. So talk about your college days, transition to working days a little bit.
Okay. Well, everybody is required to declare a major. So I thought, you know, since sports was a big part of my life, I thought, okay, I'm going to do... Maybe I'll do physical therapy. You know, that was kind of becoming popular. But then I realized you had to take anatomy and you know, work with the cadaver. And I thought, that's not for me, you know. Right. So I quickly went the business route. I was, you know, really good at math. And I thought, okay, I could be a finance major. So then I was a finance major. And that's what I actually ended up declaring to start with. And then I got into my 200 level finance classes. And I was like, I'm not really interested in this. So I was still a business major and I just went into marketing because that seemed a lot more interesting and fun and, you know, catered to my personality. And so as a business major, they push you out there into getting as many internships as possible. So that's what mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot of experience before graduating. And then when I graduated, I still wasn't sure like, okay, which direction do I go? I could take a full-time job or I could go to grad school. And so one of my professors kind of hooked me up with the associate athletic director. And so I got to do a 2-year college assistantship and get my master's degree in sport management. And so they paid for my master's degree and I got to work all these awesome, you know, Division I sporting events. And mm-hmm. so that's when I fell in love with event coordinating. And because it kind of tied the interest in sport with the organization of an event. So I had a blast with that.
Where'd you go to school?
University College. Of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, Fighting Illini.
And you interned at Disney and Nike? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Can you tell us about that, how that came to be?
Sure. Well, once again, you know, having that experience with my dad, if I wanted to go work somewhere, then I would just show up and I said, hi, my name is Christina. This is what I would like to do. Here's my resume. And so they're like, really? Nike Town Chicago was, you know, in the neighborhood. So I went there and they're like, we're looking for a marketing intern. And so right there, I walked into, you know, I call that God's providence, that he was taking care of me. And right there, they hired me for marketing intern. So it was a fabulous experience. It was before I did the athletic programming. So that was my first event coordinating position, and I got to see them open up a whole, you know, section of the store dedicated to women's apparel. And all these people from New York came, and they were so wonderful. And they were like, hey, do you want to work for us in New York? And I thought, I have to graduate college first. So in hindsight, sometimes I'm like, should I have taken that? But no, I have to graduate, need my degree. So that was a wonderful experience.
So you mentioned earlier, I think, folklore dancing.
Yes.
What kind of folklore dancing?
Latin folklore.
Latin, okay, yes. Got it. Because when you say folklore to an Austrian, you know, I see a large tree pole and ribbons and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I did not know that about you. I've known you a long, long time. But what I also didn't know about you is you did not speak Spanish fluently until you came to Houston?
Pretty much.
I would have never known that.
I know.
That's incredible.
Shocking.
So let's talk about that. When did you move to Houston and why?
I moved in 2008. We were experiencing some family deaths in December of 2007 and later in January of 2008. And I'd been flying back and forth to be with my parents during those times. And I knew, okay, it's time for me to get closer to them just for, you know, just to be there when they needed me. And also I was, you know, hoping to have a family one day, and I wanted my children to have the same experience I did in having that time with my grandparents. So I started looking for a job because I wasn't going to leave home without a job. And so since I had worked for Club Corp before, I knew they had clubs everywhere. And I started looking on their website and they had some openings in Houston.
Yeah.
And I had also thought about working in the sports, you know, kind of going back to that. So I had interviewed with the Rockets and they had hired me. And then I was talking with you at one point, and
we just finished the renovation at the City Club. So that was in 2007 when we interviewed. Yeah. Wow. Towards the end of the year there, because I was gone in January 2008, and you moved down here what month?
Ended up in March. Since you left, it kind of pushed everything.
So you were at my last interview, my last hire, mm-hmm. and we never worked together. Mm-mm. Incredible.
Mm-mm. She interviewed again, right?
Yeah. Did
an interview again.
I interviewed again, and I think I think it was more of a formality since they knew that you had already hired me. So okay, let's meet her and then yeah, make sure everything's right. fine. And then I started working in March.
Great. And we'll talk about the Transition Racquet Club in a second. But how did you meet your husband?
So because of my college experience learning how to do land dancing, I would from time to time when I wasn't working, because I was working both jobs, I would go down the street from here. Actually, there's a place called Tropicanas, and I would kind of take an hour and just kind of dance a while just to kind of unwind and just kind of practice, keep up my skills. And it was a lot of fun. I didn't do it as much as I wanted to, but from time to time, and it happened to me one day that my husband, who is not a dancer, went with a group of friends from high school who were welcoming back a buddy from Afghanistan. So they're kind of like celebrating that he came back, and I was taking a little break from dancing. I went to the far corner where nobody would see me, sat down because I wore these really cute heels. I thought that they would be fun to wear, and I thought, no, I'm not going to last long in these. So I took a break, and then I think we kind of saw each other, but it was dark, so I really couldn't see anything. And I smiled because I smile all the time. And I guess he thought that was like a come on over kind of invitation. So he came over and put his hand out and said, would you like to dance? And I thought, not really, but okay, let's, okay, you know, the song's almost over. It'll be quick. And so he started, you know, asking me questions. And I said, oh, we're going to talk. Is that what we're doing? So I just, usually you go and you dance and it's done and, you know, move on to the next. And so he started asking me questions and, you know, I'm here with my friends. I haven't asked anyone else to dance, but, you know, I'd like to get to know you. Can I have your phone number? And I thought, well, that was kind of sweet. So I thought, okay, you didn't have to explain all that. So I did give him my number. And the
rest is history.
Yeah.
So I remember I can't believe how old your kids are, but I do remember you waiting here at the club. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite pictures
I
mentioned before is right outside this door right
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm. That's
in,
right.
in your wedding dress. How old are your kids now?
11, 10, and 6.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned that at a previous podcast, but I think when you were working at the kids club at the mm-hmm. time,
that's right.
I told you stop drinking the water. Right? Remember me
yes.
telling you that?
Yes.
All right.
Kept drinking it.
She kept drinking it. Mm-hmm. It was very special.
So, sweet.
So
sweet.
Thank you. You came to the club, and I can share this. I got a phone call from a former City Club member, mm-hmm. Bob Epstein. Mm-hmm. He's recently... passed away, but he called me and he goes, they're crazy. Who's crazy? Management, why are they crazy? They let Christina go. Christina Barajas? Yes, she's no longer at the City Club. You know, the first thing that popped in my head, oh, there goes the non-compete. So he gave me your number and here we are. So brought
did you because she shared that story with me and she wasn't sure if you knew that you were interviewing her for a second time. So you did know that.
That she was.
Yeah. This was the second time you were interviewing her.
Yeah. Because I couldn't because of the.
Gotcha.
So I did it again just to make sure. And then, of course, and I brought that up during a previous podcast. So I'm not going to repeat myself.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. So I think the initial thought was to have you in private events, but then. We needed member relations. I think we call it member relations at the
mm-hmm,
time, and
right.
which eventually became you were the member services manager mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. many years.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's not on there, you were a huge part of the transition in a fitness center that's mm-hmm. not listed. You know, you mm-hmm. were helping out in the fitness center mm-hmm. and everything else, and then of course kids club and on and on. But mm-hmm. I will say that from 2008 through 2011 was really the biggest transition here mm-hmm. with Kathy coming aboard mm-hmm. and Blake coming mm-hmm. aboard and in 2010 and Berta and, mm-hmm. and on and on. And then it finally, the dust had settled and we started building on the vision. So mm-hmm. I just want to say again, thank you so much for all of those years. And the initial times were tough. Mm-hmm. Don't you start tearing up over
there.
So... Okay, so you came to the club, started in member relations, and then let's just bypass all the other stuff. What was your favorite position, or what was your favorite event or favorite time at the club?
The first thing came was my wedding experience here, you know, and that would obviously be non-member related. That was a personal experience that I had no idea, you know, where I would go and have this very personal event. So it was really nice to tie it in with my work life because I worked a lot And this place is so much a part of me, and I love it here. And the people, you know, all the team is just, you know, we've grown together, and mm-hmm. you've done a great job building that team. Thank you. We've all been working really hard to, you know, make the vision happen. And so it was just surreal to actually walk out there and, you know, have my parents there and, you know, have that ceremony and a very like 72 degree evening in the pavilion with the twinkle lights that Rolls team had put up, and Marlon on the tennis court giving a lesson, shouting out to me, and it was just really sweet. So
you got to experience the member experience at the club, which is why we have a wait list that long. Everyone's talking about the club like you are, and I can just see how much you love it. Okay, what's on your bucket list?
Well, it's really easy for me to think of one thing. I'm looking at that towel on your printer.
Yeah.
I have not made it to Wimbledon yet, and that is definitely something I want to do. And now that I have my children, I want to bring them with me so they can experience that.
Yeah, sure. I haven't either. A member brought that back for me. Thank you. And get back to fitness when the time comes.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I just ran into a member today, and they're like, oh, so glad to have you back. That's been really wonderful to, you know, see people and have that kind of a reception. But they're like, man, I just remember when you were like the epitome of fitness. And I thought, yeah, those days are behind me for now. But I do, you know, eventually, you know, as things kind of loosen up with the kid schedule, want to get back to, you know, what I used to be. Because, I mean, it feels good to be in great shape. And luckily, I haven't let myself go too far. But definitely feels really good when you're strong.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great shape. I remember you always working out, playing tennis too sometimes. Mm-hmm. We were asking for permission for that. And it's great. Favorite music?
Right now, I mean, I love all kind of music. But right now I only have worship music on in my car because I just feel...
Worship, gospel.
All of the above. Yeah. You know, I mean, I have some favorite, you know, groups like Casting Crowns and Mercy Me that have been around for a really long time. And their just music really speaks to my heart. And I mean, I cannot give praise and thanks enough to my God for all that he's done for me. I'm so blessed. My, you know, my kids and my family, we're all healthy. And I have this great job. And I mean, there's nothing I can complain about. But even if times get tough, I always know, you know, where my help comes from. So I need to give him the praise.
So we know what motivates you. And of course, your husband and you have some ministry.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So before we close this out, same question. You're obviously such a motivated, energetic, positive person. How do you make that happen every day, no matter what happens? What if Thomas is in a bad mood and you still go past it? Which I'm really not ever, but go ahead.
I mean, I think, of course, there's a natural disposition. You know, we all have that. Yeah. But I mean, I'm well. I feel like I've never suffered a day in my life, and I have the ability to do what I want to do. You know, I can work hard and be proud of something at the end of the day. So I think, you know, Cicely asked me what my advice would be to people is just always think of how you can do better the next day. And I really think it's important for us to notice each and every person that walks through here, whether they're a member or an employee. So that is a mission of mine, that everyone knows that I see them and that they know that they're important. And I think that's what makes this place special also.
Wow. That's very well said.
You just summed up this place. That was so beautiful. Great. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Christina. Well, in closing, I'll... excuse me, I'd like to say thank you. We're recording this on the first day of my... 15th year here at the club, coincidentally, and Christina surprised me this morning. The staff surprised me this morning at our staff meeting with a little something that's sitting on my desk. So nicely pulled there. But as I said earlier, I just want to say thank you to you, Cicely, everyone that's part of the team since 2008 and before, everyone that has put up with me and pushed me through and made me a little more mellow, Gene. I need to announce this. I forgot all about it. Everyone listening, Gene has access to the Racquet Club podcast because the board of directors approved Gene for an honorary membership. Nice. So
I got to see her today. Awesome.
Congratulations again, Gene. She surprised me at lunch. I had a friend here for lunch, and she came by and she dropped off a little gift, and it says, "Enjoy the gift of an ordinary day." And she and I know 100% what that means, because we used to have a saying here, Happy Tuesday, because on Tuesday morning, which is for most of you listening, Monday morning when you go back to work, this club is just crazy busy and all kinds of things hit you from left and right. And she says, you know, Thomas, every once in a while, it's okay to have a boring day. So thank you for that.
Thomas, we also want to thank you for your leadership and guidance the last 15 years. It's been incredible, and we couldn't have it better in our positions having you lead us. So we want to all thank you for everything you've done for the members and employees.
That's right.
Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Okay. This was about you, not about me, but I wanted to say that. So thank you. That's very special. It means a lot to me. All right, Christina, I'll try to find a good song for you. Okay. Thanks again for being here. And so glad you're back.
Thanks for having me.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one
for all that you do and participating in the Houston Racquet Club Insider Podcast. And if you have any suggestions, recommendations, or compliments, press the Engage link below and let us know what you think. Or email us at engage@HoustonRacquetClub.com. That's E-N-G-A-G-E @HoustonRacquetClub.com. And when you do, you'll be entered to win some fun prizes. Have an amazing day.